welcome to Teachers Off Duty. If you've never listened with us before, my name is Rebecca Rogers. I'm R Rogers World on all social media platforms.
My name is Bree, Honest Teacher Vibes on all social media platforms.
I'm Lauren Woolley, Mrs. Woolley in fifth.
And I'm Vinny Thomas, Mr. Thomas English on all social media, apart from Instagram, where it's V Thomas English, because someone stole my name.
Looking at you, Instagram, looking at you.
Give Vinny his name back.
I'm gonna make t-shirts.
Free my boy.
But anyways, we know that with the case of any job, there are always things that you wish you learned in either school or college or training, whatever it is that you did before, that you kind of make it to the job and you're like, wow, I have absolutely no idea how to handle this or what to do. And that's what we really wanted to talk to you guys about with teaching, of things we wish we learned in school but just didn't at all in the slightest bit.
Specifically in like college, like things we should have learned in our teacher programs that
they,
you know, neglected to tell us.
That's an alternate rap program, big dog. You had no student teaching. You did your little course that was like super easy, got your certificate, and they just threw you in the classroom.
Holy Lord.
You ain't know what you was doing, just floundering around.
What is the biggest thing from like your alternate route program trainings that you're like, wow, I wish I had more training on this?
How to deal with them crazy parents. I'm like, first of all, I had to, when they call and they be talking crazy, I'd be like, hold on, let me look at this phone, because I know they can't be on my phone talking crazy. I know you ain't talking to me. You must be talking to somebody, but I know it's not me. Then I'm like, bro, you can't do that. So you can't talk to them like that. But time management and like the amount of things that we have to do, lesson plans and how they are completely unrealistic to what you do in undergrad and what you do in an alternate route program versus what you actually had to submit for a lesson plan in the classroom.
That's insane. Our lesson, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, at my school, like going off of the lesson plan thing, like at my college, at least when I went there, I know they've changed the program a lot since I've had student teachers in my classroom now. They like highly frowned upon getting any kind of materials from like Teachers Pay Teachers or anything like that.
Really?
So and I was in the elementary ed program, and they were like, really wanted us to make all of our materials. And so I spent hours and hours making different things I didn't have to make. Right? But
never.
No, I know. But like, you know, I was stupid, and so I did it. And like now when I'm at like my actual classroom, I'm like, it's not at all like that. I will hop on Teachers Pay Teachers and be like, so where can I find a spelling test template?
So now that you say that, I feel like I just had a core memory unlocked of like one of my education professors like calling me on the phone while I was at work as a waitress. Like I had to excuse myself because my professor kept calling me, and she's like, it's come to my attention that some of your slides that you submitted for your student teaching stuff were like a lot of it was taken from another website on Teachers Pay Teachers or something. And I would just sat there and I was like, can we not do that? Like, is that not a thing to use other people's resources that are available online? And she's like, no. And I'm like, then why is it there? Like,
yeah. And, like, what I find so strange, because like I trained in England and we're it's a completely different now.
Yeah.
So when you're doing your, like, how it works in England is usually you do your undergrad, which is 3 years instead of four, because you know they start us on undergrad stuff when we're still in school, so we don't have to pay for it. That's another conversation.
Interesting.
And literally after you do your undergrad, so I wanted to be an English teacher, so I then went and did my 1 year PGCE, which is postgraduate certificate in education, and you have two placements. So you have one at one school, and it's usually like you have one like public school and one like charter grammar school. So you get a mix, so you can see what setting you'd be good in. And it also gives you a difference in like demographics to see like you're at a behavioral school, or you're at a school that doesn't have as many behaviors.
Right.
So that you can get a vast like experience basically. And each of the schools I went to in England, it was very much like the school would follow a really like set curriculum where all of the teachers in this year would teach this text. And how it would work is you wouldn't have like I'm a year seven teacher, like you have like seventh grade English teachers. Instead, you would be an English teacher and you would teach one high level year seven, one low level year eight, 1 year nine, 1 year 11, year 12.
Wow.
And it would be a mixture. And when I tell like that to American teachers, they're like, how do you plan for that? But the difference is, everyone collaborates. You go into your school, you go on the shared drive, click English, you can find every single lesson made.
Wow.
Because at the end of every school year,
I'm moving to England.
Because at the end of every school year, it is one teacher's job. You delegate, you spread it out, and you'll tag team, and you'll look at the curriculum created for that year, and you'll adapt it, and you'll say, right, what went well, what didn't go well, and each scheme of work for each year would be adapted to high, low level.
See, I've been at high schools where they've tried to do something like that. Because at my first school, the PLT, the group of world history teachers, like, they tried to do something like that, but the curriculum just changes so often that it's hard to, like, keep on. I like that, though. Like, I wish it was more common.
And it also, like, to me, I just found when I first came here, I was like, I've came from a foreign country. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm British. Right. But at the same time, I was like, I've came here, I've been offered a job. And in England, when you interview for a school, you have to do a practice lesson. That's part of your interview.
Oh. Are you? Well?
Yeah.
I like that.
There's a school in my area, one school in my area that does that. No other school that I've ever interviewed for, though, does that.
And it's usually the bougie, like...
It is the bougie school. Yeah.
And to me, I was like, that traumatized me. So it would be you and the person that's also interviewing for the same job would split the 1 hour class period. You have to both teach your own lesson and they watch you and they observe you and then you do the interview.
Okay, no, that's too
and
much.
And it's like a whole thing where, like, I was like, I don't want to do this. I came here thinking it was the same thing. And literally, like, to me, it kind of blows my mind to think a 30-minute conversation with someone behind a desk makes them think, like, yeah, we want to see you in front of, like, you're here, you're under contract for a whole year. And I'd be like, this is worrying to me. And then, like, especially, like, then I'd start teaching. And I was thinking, okay, like, in England you do, it's called an NQT, which is Newly Qualified Teacher. Mm. Used to be 1 year, now it's 2 years, where you have a slightly reduced timetable. So you have more time to be able to meet with, like, your mentor, because you have a mentor that helps you. You get signed off on everything.
Dang.
And there's all of this structure and support. And to me, when I came here, right, I was like, is no one going to check in on me? Like...
Okay, like, everything you just said just pissed me off. Like, I'm moving to England. Okay, in Ohio, you have a 4-year resident educator program. So, like, when after you have your 4-year bachelor's degree, you land your first teaching job. The first year is, like, you have to do certain tasks or whatever. The second, and you have a mentor through this whole thing, but your mentor doesn't really do much of anything. They just kind of make sure you're doing, like, not to their fault, but, like, they just don't really do much. Like, you could ask them questions and stuff, but they're not allowed to help you with the tasks.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
I don't know. But you have 4 years of tasks, and then you have to submit your RESA, and it's like the summative assessment for your resident educator program. And then they determine whether or not they're going to give you a professional license or if you're going to have to continue and do more hours for a temporary license or whatever. But, like, no support whatsoever. Like, I totally could see being shocked by that. Like, I would, like, I can't imagine how much better life would be, and this goes back to the episode we just did about teachers quitting, how much better life would be for teachers if they were provided with a lower amount of work. I'm not saying, like, a lot, but, like, a little bit more time to plan, because you don't have a bag of tools to pull from your first year teaching,
right,
and you don't have a slew of assignments that you've created over the past 5-6 years to pull from either. So to have that, oh my god, how invaluable that would be.
And I remember, I, like, in my first week, all of these random people kept coming into my class and sitting at the back, and I used to be like, oh my gosh, they're trying to check that I can actually do this because they're hiring me off the street. I've just came from England. I remember I went to my head of department and I was like, why are all these random people coming into my classroom, like, am I going to be fired? Like, tell me the truth. And he turns around to me and he's like, Vinny, man, I'm going to be honest with you. They just want to listen to your fancy British accent. I had 20 people in my room this week. I thought I was going to be fired. They just want to hear me speak.
I love your American accent.
It's hilarious. My, like, old head of department was, like, from Alabama.
I had a really, like, husky, like,
Southern American accent.
When y'all were in college is your undergrad in education?
So basically, I got screwed over when. You have to, like, transfer. You have to pay. It's like $600 to have your credentials translated when you move abroad. I did my PGCE because I knew it was internationally recognized, and I was like, long term, I know I'm going to move. Some things in England aren't. So how it works is because we only do a 3-year undergrad, mm-hmm. my PGCE actually counted as a third of a master's and I got all A's. So I would have had like a third of my master's done because all of my essays were like top graded essay.
That's awesome.
Wow.
When I transferred here, I paid money and they were like, well, you only did 3 years of undergrad. So that 1 year PGCE, I lost my master's credits. And now I have a triple major because I had English Lit and Media and Communications. And now I have secondary education. So I have a triple major and lost my master's credits when
Did y'all have, both y'all did undergrad?
So my undergrad, my undergrad was early childhood education. And then I tacked on a fourth and fifth grade endorsement so I could teach up to fifth grade.
Okay.
So for my regular undergrad, it was a 4-year degree. But, like, my university, the way they structured their semesters was so stupid. And, like, I literally had to take a summer. I did, like, all 4 years I took completely full schedules. And then I also had to do a semester in the summer with 4 classes so I could graduate in 4 years. Otherwise, it would have been a 5-year degree. And then I did another summer semester with 3 classes to get the fourth and fifth grade endorsement. So it was like a whole thing. And then like how it works at my university, it was you had basically your gen ed classes that you took for the first year mm-hmm. and some of your education classes, like the lower level ones. And then like once you hit your third year in your undergrad, you had to have like a certain GPA and you can apply to get into upper division, mm-hmm. which is like all of the teaching classes and like doing like work in schools and like stuff like that. So, I mean, it was pretty intense, but it was like they set you up to not graduate in 4 years because they want your money.
Yep. So the reason I asked that is because I did an alternate route program.
Mm-hmm.
They obviously didn't teach us anything about classroom management or that kind of stuff. But in y'all's undergrad, did y'all have a class about classroom management?
Oh, it was so
not
dumb.
Not really.
It was,
yeah, it like, was not like, the way that it should have been.
Yes, I did.
See, like, also for me, like, so how my college did it is I had to major. I basically had a double major because mm-hmm. I had to major in history but also get my licensure, which wasn't a major, but it was like a major mm-hmm. on the side.
Okay.
So, like, we basically double major, and, like, if you're high school or middle school, you major in your content area, but if you're elementary, you major in, like, childhood development.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
then,
yeah.
It,
okay.
Like, again, like, you get your license on the side, and it's like a double major, but it doesn't count as a major. Mm. But when it comes to student teaching,
like that for my brother. My brother's middle school science and social studies, and it literally was a degree. It was like
science and social studies. They just didn't do it that way at my school because like even like NC State right next door did it like completely mm-hmm, different.
Yeah.
It's just how our program did it. But like even student teaching. I don't feel like, and I used to joke about this all the time to my colleagues, is I don't consider my student teaching year in college, like, student teaching, because I didn't learn anything at all. Like, not even exaggerating, and, like, I'm really sorry if she's watching this, but, like, my CT, which a cooperating teacher, the teacher mm-hmm. I was paired with in student teaching, she would leave the room when I taught for, like, the first half of the semester. Like, she wouldn't watch me. And I would, like,
like, I need a drink from the vending machine.
Like, she would go and hang out with the teacher down the hall. And, like, I would bring her, like, my professors want feedback. I want to know how I'm doing. And she, oh, you're doing great. And I would just think, like, you're not watching me. And then my professors came in around midterms, and they were just like, you're not where you need to be. You're not, but, like, they're like, you're not doing what you should be doing, but they wouldn't specify of what I wasn't doing. It was so weird. And they just, like, kept telling me that for months. I didn't change anything because I didn't know what to change. And all of a sudden, one day, they're like, that's perfect.
And right.
I'm like, yeah, and it makes no
sense. I didn't make any changes.
We need a class.
All.
We need a class in how to unjam the copy machine.
Yes.
We need a class in how to be able to go take a crap real quick when you accidentally eat the when you eat that cafeteria food because you left your lunch at home. We need a class in how not
support.
To. Yeah, we need a tech support after this past year. Listen, with the pandemic, I feel like we could work for Google or Microsoft.
Some of the classes I took at the time, I was like, what the heck am I ever going to use this for? Like, some of the things I was like, okay, that was kind of useful.
Yeah.
And then the ones that I thought would be useful are like, completely useless.
Right,
like, so
right.
The one class in elementary ed, it's really like you have to take a slew of different things. So I literally had to take my first year a 2-semester class that was not, I didn't have to take a math class. Like, mm-hmm. usually everyone has to take at least one math.
I hated that.
I had to take teaching elementary math. And I had, like, how we learn, or how we teach in base 10. So, like, counting 1 to 10, and then mm-hmm. you make a group of 10 and so right. on. I had to learn that in base 4. And it's like a whole, it like shows you how it is for a kid to learn base 10. Oh, so it was like,
interesting.
That class was, it was kind of interesting to see that. So that was cool. And then I had to take an elementary, it was like childhood development. I had to take childhood health. So I literally had to, I took a class from a nursing professor about childhood health. I had to learn about all these like diseases and like symptoms of them. And I'm like, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know how you expect me to remember these, but like, it's useful to know.
Right. I wish they would.
I just wish I could remember.
I wish they would have did a class in college on teachers' mental health and how to take care of yourself. Especially your first year teaching.
And all you get is like these random, like, kind of like, this is a wellness kind of seminar. No. And it's like, why do I need to sit? I had one where I went to, and this woman put a glass down and was like, this is my cup. This is how I fill it. And literally was like, this was the trip I went on to Australia and did a slideshow of everything you did. And she's like, this is how you have wellness. And I'm like, but what am I going to do right now? Like, I don't care about your Australian.
I can't afford Australia.
This is the professor. Did you come to like help me with my mental health, or did you just want to brag about going to Australia? Right. Like, no.
Something I wish I would have gotten taught in school was all the freaking acronyms that there are.
There are so many acronyms,
and I know maybe a handful of them, and then like other times, I'm not gonna lie. So I got put on this new committee this year, and it's called NNPS. I now know the name of it. At the beginning of the year, when I was put on the committee, I didn't even know what it was called. Like, I was like, I'm on the NPS.
NBC.
And I'm like, I don't know what it's called, but I'm on a committee for community engagement. Like, that's all I know.
Sounds like Vinny trying to say a set of medicine.
There are so many. And I'm like, how are we supposed to remember all these?
I think for me, the main thing that I was like, I remember coming in and I had like next to no sped training whatsoever.
I
came from a foreign country. Someone said 504 and I was like, is that a phone call? Is that a zip code? I don't know. And literally, like, I remember coming in and I looked at my list. At this point, the most I'd ever had in England was one, maybe two IEP sped students in a class. I looked at my
list. Is that not typical?
What?
Are like IEPs like
they are
typical?
But I don't know how they do it, but like, I don't know if it's just like different populations, but like in my experience, like my schools like in England didn't have as high a volume of IEP as
like
America
in each class.
Also think, you know, depending on the district, some like kids are identified differently in other districts than, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it all depends on how districts are identifying kids with IEPs. But, like, yeah, it depends on the district how many are in
the room. Well, and I remember I was like, because this is what one thing that I wish I would have known.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to a district and you apply for a school, all of the internal transfers in that district happen first.
All of the great
schools that everyone wants to work for, old Pam's already put in for a transfer there. So when you're trying to get into that school district, you can bet you're going into the school that no one in that district wants to work for.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you go into it and you're like, oh, I got into my district. And like you're like going all of like, this massive parade about it. And then you get there and everyone's like, welcome, this sucks.
And you're like, thanks.
And I said this to my wife when she was applying last year. I was like, I'm going to be real with you. When you get in with a district, the likelihood is, unless you are blessed and everyone loves their school and they're situated, you are going to get the bad school in the district because that's your entry. You start at the school with a bad reputation and then you transfer and then you build up. And I think that's something that I wouldn't have expected as a first year teacher.
And a lot of, you know, I know they helped us in college, like getting our resumes ready and stuff like that. But like, a lot of the stuff I realized when I was applying for jobs is like, it's very much who you know.
At least
in my area, it was very much who you know to get an interview or to get into the school. The school I'm at now is not the case. I had never even heard of the school I'm at before I applied there. So that was kind of just like happenstance. But like the other, like my first school I ever taught at, I literally got my interview because I know the curriculum director.
Yeah.
And they got me an interview. Like, I'm going to be real. Like, that's why I got my interview. But like, you know, I just feel like so much of everything I've learned on the job was more useful to me than any class I sat through yeah. at my university.
It's like, why do they not tell you in college how hard your first year of teaching is right. going to be? They just send you out all yeah. bright eyed and bushy tailed, and you're just excited and feel like yeah. you go save the world, and you come in and the kid tells you to shut the F up talking to them, and you're like, what kind of sham are y'all running around here? Y'all didn't tell me it was going
to
be like this. Or like
they preach, so like in elementary ed, I had to take literally a child classroom management class, and we had this whole big project where we had to design a classroom environment, and then we had to
they'd be killing me when I do stuff like that.
I had like a binder. I had to design a classroom environment. I had to create a classroom management system that included X, Y, and Z, and like
so comical to
and
me.
And I look at this project that I made, and I'm like, that would never work in my classroom. Yeah. I'm like, that would never ever work, and I got an A on that.
Like, you know something? Like, I almost even embarrassed myself in front of an admin because of something that I was taught so wrong in college. Mm-hmm. Like in college, my professors literally told me that at the end of the year, when you have your summative observation mm-hmm. meeting, and like, you know, you have the standards and you get rated as proficient or accomplished and all the things, mm-hmm. my professors told me that we would have to go through every single standard and every single thing and like bring in data to show that we deserved the next higher mark. Every single time. She said we had to do that for every single one. And, you know, my first year teaching, my first actual year teaching, they had displacements because they just opened a school, like, down the road. And so, like, I didn't have a real summative observation mm-hmm. because they were getting ready to let go. Not let go, but, like, displace. And I was one of the teachers displaced. That's how I ended up at the other school. Mm-hmm. But, like, two teachers from every single department. So it wasn't a real observation. They just kind of said, yeah, we're happy with you. See ya. And then, like, the next year, COVID, we didn't have observations. Mm-hmm. And so last spring was my first actual... Oh, gosh. Real observation. It was my principal who was doing it mm-hmm. and the one that didn't like me.
Oh,
and I showed up trying to argue about every single standard because that's what my professor told us we had to do.
Maybe these professors need to go back to the classroom. Like, y'all go slow for
me. But I think it needs to, like, because you don't get trained in how to identify when someone in an admin role
yeah.
is not doing their job yes. correctly. Yes. You're told you need yeah. to be professional. But, like, I remember I had an observation, and, like, no tea if they're watching this. But,
like, if you're watching this, you're really not.
I had an observation where they said to me, they were like, so this isn't on the observation, but, you know, I just want to say, I feel like your TikTok personality is better than your teaching personality. And I was just like,
bro, I'm gonna throw hands.
Like, this isn't even on the. And I just remember sitting there thinking, wow, thanks for that. That really helped me, like, grow wow. as a teacher. Like, and then was just like, and then it went into a story being like, I turned around to a student today and was like, oh, you've got Mr. Thomas. And they're like, yeah. And she was like, yeah, he's the fun TikTok teacher. And they were like, oh, yeah, he's not really like that in class. And that made me sad.
Oh, my gosh.
And this is making me sad now.
But, like, you should be more professional in the classroom, right? Like, yeah, but in the classroom, it's not all like, yeah. hey, everybody.
Could you imagine?
The next day, you should have came in dressed up as Ursula. Oh, imagine. That's what you should have did.
I'm just there, like, coming in dressed as Ursula, you know, just like, oh, yeah, we're doing Of Mice and Men today. Like, excuse me.
They came in dressed as Woody and Buzz. What the hell? I need to change my costume.
But, like, you don't know that. Like, as a new mm-hmm. teacher, you go in and you feel like literally a deer in headlights. Yeah. You don't know. Right. And yeah. you're like, I can't rock the boat. And it's usually 9 times out of 10, you're like opposite a veteran teacher that's really like, you don't need to do any of this. And you're like, oh, but I think I do.
Right. And it's just like. Right. Or like the veteran teacher, like, speaks their mind all the time and has no qualms about going up in arms against something.
Oh, no
qualms. And you sit there and you're like, and you're like, I will say nothing all year.
My first year teaching, I was scared that they, apparently your lesson plan was supposed to be submitted by Thursday at 3:45.
Oh. The first time I ever had to submit my lesson plan, it was like 3:30 and I wasn't done. And I was literally crying because I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get in trouble. This yeah. lesson plan is going to be submitted.
And the next day, one of the teachers came in and was like, girl, I hadn't even thought about my lesson plan yet. I was like, I thought they were due yesterday at 3:45. She's like, girl, we don't ever turn them lesson plans in at 3:45. I was so mad because I was like crying the day before because I didn't know.
Listen, my first year teaching, luckily, the school I was at had 3 vacancies all in second grade. So mm-hmm. three of us were all first year teachers.
Oh god!
And so we kind of like band together to try and help each other. So the one, the first time we had to turn in lesson plans, my district required, I'm not exaggerating, our lesson plans were literally like 20 pages long for language arts. Each week? Yes, for language arts and for math. Dang. So I, like, the first time we ever had to make them, we literally went to Starbucks together and we sat there for 7 hours on a Sunday writing our lesson plans. I was like, this is hell. Why did I pick this job?
Okay. And
like, you know, but like, it's the things like that, like, you don't realize, even like, okay, data. We have no idea.
Bro, what do they do with the data?
I don't know.
Y'all take all this data and bother me, make my pressure high at these meetings for data. I ain't never seen nothing that y'all do with this data.
They look at it.
And I just remember.
Like, analyze it.
Right. They file 13 it.
Going back to like Vinny talking about being a deer in headlights. And I know it's something that like a lot of like you don't even think about. And maybe it's just me. I don't know. But when my first year teaching, one of the first staff meetings that they ever had, they're like, okay, so here's the deal about insurance and the retirement stuff. And like you have to pick which plan. And like, I had never even thought about it. Like, no one explained that to me, how that worked. They're talking about 401ks, and I'm like, I don't even know what that is. As, like, I just graduated college. I was just fired a couple weeks ago.
You didn't know what a 401k was,
best
friend?
At the time, I didn't. Now I do. But, like,
I didn't know. I knew what a 401k was. I have a 403b, and I didn't know what that was.
What the hell is that?
It's just a tax shelter account. So, it's a secondary
They just, like, had this meeting, and they're like, okay, here's the deal with the insurance. But, like, no one told me that we were even having that kind of meeting. Apparently, everyone just knew, oh, yeah, first meeting of the year is, like, insurance. I didn't know what it was. I had no idea, like, what I was supposed to expect. No one explained it to me. And I was just like, what is this?
You
like,
know something funny?
We talked about this in school.
You want to know something funny?
What?
I did to myself my first year teaching. So, going off of what you said, the finance stuff, I didn't have a clue about that. And so the 403B that I have, the guy who's the financial advisor comes around to the school and he talks to all of the teachers, and if they want to change anything, cool. If they don't, whatever. So the first year, he's like helping me set up my 403B. And he's like, do you still live at home? And I was like, yeah, I'm 22. I don't got a house. And so he's like, okay, that's good. So you don't have a house payment. And he's like, so, you know, right now, since you don't have as many bills as you might have in the future, now would be a really good time to put, you know, to be aggressive with your account and put whatever you can in there. And I thought, because I'm stupid, I thought that the 403B was my only retirement. I didn't know I was getting STRS.
Oh, God.
So they take 15% of your paycheck for STRS. Mm-hmm. I was putting an additional 15% into my 403B. So 30% of my paycheck was going into my retirement fund.
And they won't let you change it.
No. Well, so then I got my first couple paychecks, and it was like I was making like $600-$700 a paycheck, and I was like, Mom, I'm like, I can barely afford my car payment. I'm like, how am I gonna? I'm like, what do I do? And I'm like crying, and I'm looking at my paycheck. I'm like, this can't be right. I'm like, what am I making here? And then Jordan, my husband, went to school for business, and he happened to be like in a finance class at the time, and he was looking over my paycheck. He's like, you're putting double into retirement right now.
It makes me mad because they know. They be talking to them teachers.
And then the next year,
they know.
He came back and I was like, yeah, we're changing this to 1%.
Okay.
And he was like, are you sure? Because they make commission off of that.
Yeah, because I should have cussed you out last year.
And I was like, yeah, I'm sure. And Jordan was like, just tell him I'm a financial advisor. He's not, but like, just lie.
Yeah.
And so I was like, yeah, I'm like, my fiance is a financial advisor, and he advised me that I don't need to be putting that much into this. And he's like, oh, he's a financial advisor? I'll mark that in your account. I didn't know that.
Oh,
he never contacted me again.
Y'all, that makes me so frustrated because there are a lot of teachers that when they sit down with those people to do that stuff, they do all this fancy talking. And then when you get your paycheck, you be like that. Don't let these people swindle you into signing up for all this stuff.
And they give you on like insurance too. Like my friend Sharon, she's like, bless her. She's
Sharon.
She's like a little bit older. So like when she has her like annual insurance with the district, they're like, oh, so have you ever thought about the fact that you might get cancer? And she's like, well, not really, but now I'm worried. And it would be like they'd say to me, they're like, do you need vision? I'm like, well, I've never needed glasses in my life. And they're like, oh, boy, if you need it. And I'm just like,
They're ridiculous.
But okay, they get me on those though, because Jordan has ulcerative colitis. Yeah. So like I have the cancer rider. I have the hospitalization rider. Mm-hmm. I buy all that because I'm like, yeah, it's a possibility. I'm like, but like the fact that they do that to everybody.
Yeah. Only there and was a clown. Right.
They're like, oh, but you know, what happens if you know, you just like fell down a flight of stairs
Maybe and then
you
broke every bone in
your body?
I'm what like, if you just, you know, keel over and die? What then? You're going to have life insurance to cover like
in front of your kids.
Oh my God.
That's too much.
But they really should have like a life skills. To. And that might even go back to high school. There should be a life skills class in high school.
And that goes with a paycheck, because I think when you first get your proper like first job out of school, you think, oh wow, even it like, you know, teacher salary, I think my starting was like 40k in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking like $40,000, this is gonna be so much money. Oh, I'm loaded, because like I'd never been used to that.
Like, I'm rich, I was
subbing before and bringing in like 20k a year, so I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm gonna be making it rain. And then like the pension hits, the insurance hits, and then you're like,
they take all this stuff
and
out.
You're literally like, I looked at my paycheck and was like, I made $100 more this month than I did subbing. And like subbing I could leave at the end of the day and be done, and now I can't. And I'm like, this is so sad.
Yeah, I think at any given time I have $800 or $900 in deductions on my paycheck, and it's but like it's not like I'm just throwing random money into stuff. Like it's stuff I need.
Yeah,
and it's sad that I had no idea about that my first year. But like the good thing was that like when I get my yearly statement for my 403b, I'm like, look how much money I have in there. Like I suffered for a year, but it's all good.
Kind of going back to like things that we wish that we learned in school, like that we just kind of learned on the fly. Imagine this. One of my best friends, we've been best friends since we were 13.
Mm-hmm.
She does elementary, but during her student teaching year, she was with her CT, her cooperating mm-hmm. teacher, and the teacher next door was told by the school, hey, we've had you on like an action plan for like this many years in a row. We're not going to renew your contract next year.
Personal improvement plan?
Yes. And so so the teacher literally said, oh, you're not renewing. This was maybe, what, in April? The teacher said, you're not renewing my contract? Fine, I'm done. And just left. She just quit on the spot, like left. But my friend, she literally was pulled from her student teaching classroom by the principal and was like, hey, by the way, we're going to contact your school. We're going to make you graduate early. And you're just going to like go be the teacher right now. Congratulations. You're
Can
now
they
a
make her graduate
sub.
Early?
They didn't, like, she accepted it. Like, she could have obviously said no, I think. Okay. But they're like, yeah, we're just going to work it out with your school, and you're going to graduate a couple months early and be officially done, and you're just now a long-term sub. And, like, she never even got to finish student teaching.
Wow.
Isn't that, like...
I don't know how that's a thing.
That would be intense.
Don't you have to take all the exams? Did she have to do all that early?
I think she just took it as like, because she wasn't hired as a full-time teacher, she was hired as a long-term sub.
So she still graduated, she still did the 2 months, but they let her be a teacher before she graduated.
Kind of. She didn't have to go to her classes at school anymore, like she just did
That's
teaching.
Crazy. My university would never.
Man, it was Union very would never. My school
and
would.
Let me tell you, we went in to like look at her new classroom. It was the most disgusting thing.
Yeah, they'd be leaving the classroom
ever
nasty.
Seen. Like it was. It was bad. It took us days to get through the grind. And like, oh.
And like, let's not even talk about like the junk that like, you know, gets left behind when teachers retire. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of them either will take their stuff and sell it, or they just don't care and
they
want to
leave
it.
They just walk out.
And so you like have to go through all of their crap on top of your crap. And like, it's like, it takes, you know, your first year, if you're like me and you move every year, it takes a long time to get your classroom set up.
That's terrible. Well, on that note, we're going to end on that note.
But let us know in the comments. I want to know what you wish that you would have learned in college that you didn't. But we hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Thank you so much for watching. And go follow us on all of our socials, Teachers Off Duty Podcast. And we will see you next time.
Bye, guys.
Best friends.
Thank you.